Today on From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, we'll learn about the judge who is coming for his children and what that means to you.
At the second coming, Jesus will bless his saints. Repay his enemies, but bless his saints. And if you're taking notes, bless his saints, you ought to put that bless in capital letters with about 500 exclamation points, because that's the understatement of the world, the blessing that's going to come to God's people.
The first century in Thessalonica was getting discouraging, almost to the point of despair. So Paul wrote to them to encourage them, but also to clear up some misunderstandings they had about the second coming of Jesus. The question is this: are you ready for the Lord's coming? This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, and you've joined us for part two of a lesson entitled, Here Comes the Judge. It's about the second coming of Christ, and it's from Pastor Jeff's brand new series, The Church in the Last Days. Perhaps you've been living on a desert island with no people and no media, and you don't realize how close that day is to coming. But you're here now, and we're about to learn all about it. If you missed past broadcasts, we invite you to go to fromhisheart.org, click the radio tab to listen again. Now, open your Bible to 2 Thessalonians. Here again is Pastor Jeff Shreve, announcing when we're going to look up and say, here comes the judge.
Question today is, are you ready for the Lord's coming? Now, I want you to notice with me in those verses that we read, three discoveries concerning the Lord's coming. Discovery number one is this: at the second coming, Jesus will be revealed as Lord. Revealed as Lord. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed, is what he says. Now, the first coming of Jesus, very different from the second coming of Jesus. The first coming of Jesus, Jesus came veiled. Now, when he comes the second time, he removes the veil. He lets you see him for who he is, the God of the universe, Creator God. And it says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. Even so, amen. Oh, when he comes again, everyone's going to know. He's coming with the mighty angels. He's coming in power and great glory. So Jesus is going to be revealed as Lord. And as the scripture tells us in Philippians, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That is coming at his second coming, at his return. Second discovery, at the second coming, Jesus will repay his enemies. So he's revealed as Lord, and he repays his enemies. He deals with his enemies. So notice some things about this second coming that Paul tells us about. First of all, grace will give way to perfect justice. When the Lord comes, he deals with his enemies, and the day of grace is over. We're living right now in the day of grace. There's grace for the sinner to receive the Savior, and the Lord allows the grace to last for a time. And then when people reject and reject and reject and reject and reject, then God says, no more grace. Now you have justice. No more grace. Now it's justice. And so when the Lord comes back, grace will give way to perfect justice, and unbelievers, secondly, will experience God's holy wrath. God's holy wrath comes upon unbelievers for their sin and for their unbelief and for the way they've persecuted his people and the way they've trampled underfoot the message of the gospel and regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant, as it says in the book of Hebrews. They will experience God's holy wrath. And it's horrible what it says that happens here. He comes with flaming fire. He deals out vengeance to those who do not know God, to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to experience the wrath of God. The Bible says in Isaiah 13, verse 9, behold, the day of the Lord is coming. Cruel. That means fierce, harsh, violent, with fury and burning anger to make the land a desolation, and he will exterminate its sinners from it. You say, well, that doesn't sound like Jesus. That doesn't sound like the Jesus I read about in the Gospels. You're reading about Jesus in the Gospels who's on his first coming to seek and to save that which was lost, who's coming in grace, who's coming to draw people to himself. When you read about the second coming, you read about Jesus not coming as Savior, coming as judge. The door of the ark is closed and justice is coming to this world. Unbelievers will experience God's holy wrath, and then hell will be eternal destruction for them. Dealing out retribution, vengeance to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. And these will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. They're going to experience not temporary destruction, eternal destruction. They are those who rejected Christ, blew off Christ, didn't respond to the general revelation that he gave. There's consequences for that. You pay the penalty of that, and the penalty is forever without God. And people are going to get what they want. You know, the person who says no to the gospel, repent of my way and trust his way, no, I don't want to do that. I don't really want to follow the Lord. I want to do my own thing. The Lord says, okay, well, I'm going to give you exactly what you want. You're going to do your own thing. You don't want me, then you're not going to have me. And what is eternal destruction? Away, separated from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. And people at the great white throne judgment, Revelation chapter 20, they will be judged according to their deeds. Their name is looked for in the Lamb's book of life. And the recording angel will say to the Lord, Lord, their name is not there. And if anyone's name was not found written in the Lamb's book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. And the lake of fire is eternal hell. See what I told you? You have the thrill of victory. You have the agony of defeat. The agony of defeat multiplied by a gazillion. Then you start scratching the surface of how bad it will be to be in hell. Someone has well said, written on the portals of hell are these words, abandon all hope, ye who enter here. Jesus described it this way. He said, it's a place where the worm doesn't ever die and the fire is never put out. It's a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. It is an awful place. There's no shred of God's mercy in hell. There's no shred of God's glory in hell. There's no shred, no iota of peace, of joy, of satisfaction. All those things are with God, and these people are separated from God. They're paying the penalty of eternal destruction. It doesn't just last for a time and then it's over. It is forever. See, when God made you and God fashioned you, he fashioned you to live forever. And you're going to either live forever in heaven with him, or you're going to live forever in hell without him. But you're going to live forever. Now, some people get the idea and they say, well, okay, if you pay, you know, Revelation chapter 20, you're judged according to your deeds. The books are open, the book of the deeds, and every man was judged according to his deeds. There are degrees of hell. Not everybody just has the same level of punishment. The Bible says in Luke chapter 12, the one who knew his master's will and did not act in accordance with it, he will receive many lashes. But the one who didn't know his master's will and committed deeds worthy of a flogging, he'll receive but a few. Why? Because he's judged based on what he knew and what he did with what he knew. There are degrees of hell. And Jesus said, woe to the cities in which he preached, because he said it would be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon, two pagan, awful cities, be more tolerable in the day of judgment for them than it will be for you. Why? Because you were given much. You heard the sermons of the Son of God. You saw the miracles of the Son of God and you rejected. And see, here's why hell is eternal. People in hell, what do? There's weeping and there's gnashing of teeth. You know what it means to gnash your teeth? It means you put your teeth together and you gnash in pain and in anger. When Stephen preached to the Sanhedrin in Acts chapter 7, and he said, you guys are so stiff-necked. You're always resisting the Holy Spirit. And he called them out. And you know what it says? They covered their ears and they gnashed their teeth. And they picked up stones and they stoned him to death. They rushed upon him and killed him. We're not going to listen to you anymore. Gnashing your teeth means anger. People in hell gnash their teeth in pain and anger. And in hell, they're angry at their jailer. They're angry at God. And they curse God and blaspheme God. And so why is hell eternal? Because the meter keeps running on their sin. They continue to sin in hell. And so it's just forever and ever and ever and never a good day in hell. It's always horrible and terrible. That's the end of every person who rejects Christ. Hey, if that doesn't break your heart, there's something wrong with your heart. Because when we have friends and neighbors and loved ones and we know they haven't received Christ, that's where they're going. And that should cause us to pray and that should cause us to witness. That should cause us to shine and share. Because we don't want anybody to go to that place. Not anybody. Well, the Lord comes and he repays his enemies. And then it says, discovery number 3, at the second coming, Jesus will bless his saints. Repay his enemies, but bless his saints. And if you're taking notes, bless his saints, you ought to put that bless in capital letters with about 500 exclamation points, because that's the understatement of the world, the blessing that's going to come to God's people. It says in verse 10, when he comes to be glorified in his saints on that day and to be marveled at among all who have believed, for our testimony to you was believed. What happens when the Lord comes back? What's the blessing for his people? Verse 6, for after all, it is only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you and to give relief to you who are afflicted and to us as well. The first thing is relief. Relief, rest that comes for God's people who have been struggling internally with sin. All of us struggle with sin. All believers still have to deal with an old sin nature, the sin that works in your members. And so nobody gets to the place in the Christian life in this world where we don't deal with sin. And there's still a battle and there's still a struggle. And we struggle with lust and we struggle with fear and we struggle with worry and we struggle with greed and we struggle with jealousy. All those things, those deeds of the flesh, they're still there that we have to deal with. But one day he's going to come and that's going to be gone. There's not going to be a struggle anymore. He tears away that old sin nature that plagues you and plagues me. He takes that away. There's going to be relief. There's going to be rest. There's going to be rejoicing. Chuck Swindoll said, he believes the greatest human emotion to experience is relief. Relief. I mean, you think about it. You go to the doctor, you have some kind of a knot in your arm or something that comes up and you're not sure what it is. And you go to the doctor and he says, well, let me take a look at this. I'll have to send it off to the lab. I'm not sure. And you're on pins and needles until you get the report. It's nothing. It's negative. Don't worry about it. And you're like, oh, feels so good, right? Feels so good. Relief. God's going to bring relief to his children, and they are no longer going to be experiencing the difficulties that they experience. But not only relief, believers will experience his glory. He comes to be glorified in his saints, it says in verse 10. He comes in the Father's glory, in his own glory, with the glory of the angels. There's just a blaze of glory that comes in flaming fire, because Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, his face began to shine like the sun. His clothes turned white like lightning. That's what's going to come through the sky, riding on the cloud on a white horse, as it says in Revelation 19, verse 11. And he comes and there is glory upon glory upon glory. And we get to experience that. Now, we are raptured and we come back with him at the second coming. And Revelation 19 talks about the armies who are with him, clothed in white linen, pure and clean. That's us. We come back with him. We don't do any fighting. He does all the fighting, but we're there to experience his glory. And it says that he is glorified in his saints. Not just glorified with his saints, and I believe there's going to be great glory with his saints, but he's glorified in his saints. He's glorified in you if you know Jesus. And you say, well, how could he be glorified in me? I mean, I read that and I thought, that should say with. Lord, that should say with his saints, not in his saints. But the Lord's like, no, it says in his saints. You need to figure it out. It doesn't say with his saints. I didn't need to check with you, Jeff, before I wrote this. It's in his saints. And so here's the way that I think I have this figured out. You and I, the greatest of us, the Apostle Paul, probably the greatest Christian who ever lived. You know what he is in and of himself? He's a lump of clay. He's a lump of clay. He responded to the gospel. He responded to the Lord. And the Lord took that lump of clay and the master potter started to make something on the wheel, something beautiful. And the thing about Paul was he didn't fight the master. He yielded to the master. And the Lord made something so wonderful, something so glorious, something so beautiful. And Paul said, hey, I was the chief of sinners, and now I'm a trophy of God's grace. If God can save me and change me, he can do that in your life. If he can save me, he can save anybody. And the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We're his workmanship. We're his, the Greek word is poema, from which we get poem. We're his poem. And he's been working on us. And then when he comes, he's glorified because he can show to the world, look what I did in Jeff Shreve's life. Look how I took a blaspheming, hard-hearted, prideful idiot and I changed his life for my glory. And if you know Jesus, the same can be said for you. He's glorified in his saints. You become a trophy of God's grace. And so we experience his glory, and then we experience his wonder. When he comes to be marveled at among all who have believed, for our testimony to you was believed. To marvel, thumazo is the Greek word. It's used over and over in the New Testament when Jesus would do miracles. Said the people would marvel, they would wonder. They'd be like, wow, they'd be blown away. Now that's in the days where his deity was veiled. How much more will we marvel over him when he's unveiled and we see him in all the fullness of his glory and splendor? People will marvel like crazy. The dictionary defines wonder in this way. It's a feeling of surprise mingled with adoration caused by something beautiful, unexpected, and unfamiliar. Let me tell you something about the wonder. The marveling that we'll do, it will last for all eternity. This isn't just 1 second when the Lord comes back and we all marvel and then the marvel goes away and the wonder goes away. It's just like the next day, yeah, Lord, your glory's old hat. I saw that yesterday and now it's just a repeat. It's not like that. It's every day your circuits are blown. Every day it's like, wow, can you believe this? I get to experience this with the Lord. I get to see Jesus face to face. Man, it is going to be awesome. Hey, what a contrast. Believers will be blessed. Unbelievers will be repaid accordingly. There's the thrill of victory. There's the agony of defeat. And then lastly, Paul closes with this prayer. Verse 11, to this end also we pray for you, always, that our God may count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith with power, in order that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you and him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, what do we do in the meantime? What do we do as we're, you know, we sing in the sweet by and by? What about in the nasty now and now? What about living now when it's tough? What do we do in the meantime? Well, in his prayer, there are three things he prays for. Number one, that we may walk worthy. Walk worthy. We pray for you always that our God may count you worthy of your calling, to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to lay aside those things, those sins that so easily entangle us and say, no, I'm a new creation in Christ. I'm not to walk after those deeds of the flesh. I'm to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord that would please him in all respects. Walk worthy. Secondly, that we may work faithfully. That God, we'd allow the Lord to use us, to work through us. See, here's the thing. You're not saved by your good works. You're saved for good works. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And the Lord wants us to do things for him and to trust him and to be a blessing and to bless other people and to do works of faith, works that would magnify the King. He wants us to do that. You know, when your faith gets tired and when your faith gets weak, the Bible says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be strong, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. God sees what you're doing, and he will bless you for it, and he'll reward you for it. And then lastly, may we witness gloriously. So we walk worthy, we work faithfully, and we witness gloriously. We let the glory of the Lord shine through us. We shine and share. We shine for Christ. We let our light so shine among men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. Bible says, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God.
Are you willing to let the glory of the Lord shine through you today? Are you willing to let the Lord use you to love others as Christ loved us, to share the good news of his second coming for his children, those who have surrendered their heart to him and live lives that reflect that personal relationship? We hope so, and we pray today's message from Pastor Jeff has helped you to grow closer to the Savior. It was called Here Comes the Judge from Pastor Jeff's series, The Church in the Last Days. In the series, Paul speaks very openly and very bluntly about the second coming of Jesus in his letter to the Church of Thessalonica. In this new series, we also learn about the rapture, Armageddon, the rise and fall of the Antichrist, and how we should be living today as Christians in a darkening world, and most importantly, how we should prepare our homes and hearts for what's to come. This new series is our thank you gift for your support from His Heart this month, and you can get yours on CDs, a USB flash drive, or as an MP3 download when you make your gift by calling 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go online to fromhisheart.org and request The Church in the Last Days. These are eye-opening messages that will get you ready for the return of the King. God bless you for joining us in this mission to tell the world about the love of God found only in Jesus. Well, thank you for joining us today on From His Heart. I'm Larry Nobles, and we so much appreciate your support, your prayers, and your faithfulness to listen and tell others about this ministry. We also hope you'll be able to join us tomorrow as Pastor Jeff continues explaining what is going to happen to the church in the last days. Be with us on Tuesday to find out the truth and the whole truth in a message entitled The Rapture, Fact or Fiction. Next time, here on From His Heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more. Go to fromhisheart.org.